Welcome to Timeless Treasures from God's Word, a preaching ministry of the late Reverend Howard E. Tucker, former pastor of the Calvary Presbyterian Church in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, whose radio ministry was heard for many years on KDKA every Sunday night. Voiced by his son Timothy, we hope these messages will inspire and challenge you and bring many to a saving knowledge of Christ as Savior. Now, here's Tim.
Well, a special thank you to each and every one of you who has taken the time to join us tonight for our program. It's always encouraging when we know that you're listening. And I'd like to share a message with you tonight, a sobering message, but an important one, called The Resurrection of Life and Damnation. And it's from John chapter 5, verses 19 through 29. My father gave this message on the radio some years ago, and he's a graduate. He was a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary and Wheaton College. And you can listen to other programs that we've done by taking your smartphone and in the search bar, just type in Timeless Treasures from God's Word. Well, in sermons given in the past, the one entitled Long Distance Healing from John 4, verses 43 to 54, we saw in that story one way in which Jesus accomplished his miracles, healing the nobleman's son when he was about 25 miles away from the boy. The other was entitled, Take Up Thy Bed and Walk, from John 5, verses 1 through 18, and we saw in that story another way in which Jesus accomplished his miracles, not working from a great distance, but as he stood by the side of the helpless man who had been crippled for 38 years. He healed him right then and there. We see the anger of the legalistic Jews because Christ had healed on the Sabbath day. As a result, Christ distinctly made it evident to them that he was equal with God the Father, and that caused them to plot to kill him. Tonight in our passage in John chapter 5, verses 19 through 29, which we have entitled from the 29th verse, Resurrection of Life and Damnation, Christ continues to teach his equality as God the Son with God the Father, and insists in verse 22 that all judgment of sinners has been committed unto him. You know, sometimes unsaved people say to us that the end of life is death, and that's all there is to it, so they will take their chances. But we always remind them of Hebrews 9, verse 27, which says, It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Frankly, no one needs to take a chance on anything after this life, because actually it is a sure thing, which is determined by our choice in this life to either accept or reject Christ as Savior. Before getting away from our consideration of the religious leaders of Christ's day, we stop to see in verse 23 that our Lord definitely taught that if their hearts had really been right in the sight of God the Father, and if their religious experience had really honored him, then he would have revealed to them that Christ was his son, and they would automatically have honored him too. The fact that they refused to do so, and the fact that they rejected him, was proof that they really didn't know the one true God at all. The same may be said of any religious leaders today who reject Christ as the Son of God. Oftentimes, leaders of Protestantism will plead that it is merely a difference of opinion, but of course, God's holy word, the Bible, proves conclusively that it is a matter of belief or unbelief. In verses 24 and 25, Christ says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now there are two great truths here for the believer in Christ as Savior. First, here and now, in this life, those who put their trust in Christ are given spiritual, eternal life, which of course is the life of Christ himself. Secondly, even though believers in Christ may die physically, they have the absolute assurance of resurrection. At this point, I believe we had better pause for a minute and answer some questions that are probably in your mind about physical and spiritual death and life. Physical death is simply the separation of the soul or the spirit, which is eternal, from the body. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul or the spirit from God. We are born physically alive with our souls and bodies together, but we are born spiritually dead because of sin, with our souls separated from God. If we don't accept Christ as Savior in this life, that dreadful condition continues for all eternity and is called the second death in the Bible. Resurrection is simply the return of the soul or spirit into the body and will be true of both the lost and the saved. However, verse 29 shows that the resurrection will be either unto eternal life because of acceptance of Christ as Savior, or unto eternal damnation or condemnation because of sin and rejection of Christ as Savior. The choice must come, however, before physical death takes place, because 1 minute after death is eternally too late. Now let's face facts. You know that someday you will die. In fact, some of you will die maybe before even next week, who knows? In other words, your soul or spirit, and we use the words interchangeably, will leave your body. You naturally are interested to know what happens to the soul when it leaves the body and where it goes. Here, of course, is the crux of the matter, because all souls do not go to the same place. However, it is true that 1 minute after death, the soul is either in one of two places, conditioned upon what the soul has done when it has been in the body. If, while in the body, the soul has not acknowledged its sinful condition, has not realized the love of God for it in sending his Son to die for its sins on the cross, and has refused to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, then, when the time comes for it to leave the body, it will go to one place. If, on the other hand, while the soul has been in the body, it acknowledges its sinful condition, realized the love of God for it in sending his Son to die for its sins on the cross, and receive Christ as Savior, then, when the time comes for it to leave the body, it will go to an entirely different place. The place that the unsaved soul goes to at death is called Hades, which is the place of departed human spirits who have rejected Christ. Unfortunately, confusion arose in the King James Version of our Bible because the Greek word Hades in the New Testament was translated hell, which it is not, if you equate hell with the lake of fire. Good revised versions correct this error. Hell, or the lake of fire, is the eternal place the unsaved soul goes to after it has been rejoined to the body at God's appointed time at the great white throne judgment, described in Revelation 20:11-15, which is the same as the resurrection of damnation mentioned here in John 5:29. Hades will give up its souls, and the grave will give up its bodies, and join together. They will be cast into hell or the lake of fire because of rejection of Christ. In the meantime, the soul of the unsaved person has gone to Hades to await the judgment. In the story of the rich man and the beggar Lazarus in Luke 16:19-31, we see the unsaved rich man in Hades in torment, with no possibility of anything being done for him, and it is a dreadful picture of the dire consequences of unbelief. The place that the saved soul goes to at death is into the presence of the Lord in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells believers that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and Philippians 1:23 says that to depart and be with Christ is far better. There they await the first resurrection. Most fundamental Bible scholars believe the scriptures definitely teach that there will be a time interval of at least 1,000 years, see Revelation 20, between the first resurrection for the saved unto eternal life and the second resurrection of the unsaved unto an eternal existence of damnation or condemnation, separated from the presence of a holy God. God didn't create hell or the lake of fire for man, but for the devil and other fallen angels, according to Matthew 25:41. In his love, he sent Christ to die for man's sins on the cross, and he offers a full and free eternal salvation to all who will receive Jesus as Savior. It is only when men reject the love of God by refusing it to receive his Son that they are consigned themselves to hell with a lake of fire. Banished from the presence of God forever, they experience the second death or eternal continuation of spiritual death, which we have already seen is the separation of the soul from God. In brief, heaven is the eternal abode of saved sinners together with the triune God and the unfallen angels, while hell, or the lake of fire, is the eternal abode of unsaved sinners, together with Satan and the other fallen angels. You see then that the cemetery is not a dead end, but a through road. The judgment of those who reject Christ as Savior is not annihilation, but everlasting indescribable terror and torment they bring upon themselves by their wrong choice. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other choice, and there is no other eternal destiny, regardless of what man wants to think or believe. Here again, it is not at all important what man thinks, but what God says in His Word. It does not matter whether we can comprehend it fully or not, or whether we can locate the places geographically exactly or not. The point remains that this is the answer of our holy God to sin, and He has provided the remedy for sin and how to avoid hell in the shed blood of Christ His Son. Therefore, He cannot be blamed for souls who end up in hell because they have rejected the Holy Spirit's pleading to receive Christ as Savior. Now, of course, all true believers in Christ should love the Lord's appearing and look forward to His coming for His own, which we call the rapture of the true church, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. However, if Christ should tarry and the time comes for our souls to leave the body, we Christians know that they will go immediately to be with the Lord. 1 minute after death, we will be with Him, having our faith realized and our hopes fulfilled. If this were the only thing Christ offers, it would be sufficient to receive Him. If you have never done so before, we prayerfully urge you to accept Christ as your Savior right now. If you are a believer in Christ, then praise the Lord for the assurance of resurrection unto life, and let the Holy Spirit use you to help others be delivered from the resurrection of damnation through faith in Christ as Savior. If you never have received Christ as your personal Savior, this is the time to do it, right now. Admit to God that you're a sinner. Repent or turn away from your sins to follow Christ, believing He died on the cross and shed His blood to take away your sins so you would not have to face the judgment for them. And then He rose again victoriously after 3 days from the grave. And now He comes to you and says, "Come to Me."
Thank you for tuning in tonight. We hope and pray this message was a blessing to you. You may receive a free written copy by emailing us at tptuck51@gmail.com or by calling 412-337-3858. Our mailing address is Timeless Treasures from God's Word, 147 Crescent Garden Drive, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15235. Please join us next week at this time over this fine radio station, Word FM. Till then, walk with the Lord in the light of His Word.